Watch warehouse, Reg sighed. All food must go to the common warehouse and be distributed by my officials according to...
Mr. Shoe, said Dickens, there's a cart with 500 chickens coming up behind me, and there's another full of eggs. There's nowhere to send them, see? The butchers have filled up the ice houses and smoke rooms, and the only place we can store this grub is in our guts. I ain't particularly bothered about officials.
On behalf of the Republic, I order you, Reg began, and Vimes put his hand on his shoulder.
Off you go, Sergeant, he said, nodding to Dickens. A word in your ear, Reg.
Is this a military coup? Said Reg uncertainly, holding his clipboard.
No, it's just that we're under siege here, Reg. This is not the time. Let Sergeant Dickens sort it out. He's a fair man, he just doesn't like clipboards.
But supposing people get left out, said Reg.
There's enough for everyone to eat themselves sick, Reg.
Reg Shue looked uncertain and disappointed, as though this prospect was less pleasing than carefully rationed scarcity.
But I'll tell you what, said Vimes. If this goes on, the city will make sure the deliveries come in by other gates. We'll be hungry then. That's when we'll need your organisational skills.
You mean we'll be in a famine situation? Said Reg, the light of hope in his eyes.
If we aren't, Reg, I'm sure you could organise one, said Vimes, and realised he'd gone just a bit too far. Reg was only stupid in certain areas, and now he looked as though he was going to cry.
I just think it's important to be fair, the man began.
Yeah, Reg, I understand. But there's a time and a place, you know. Maybe the best way to build a bright new world is to peel some spuds in this one. Now off you go. And you, Lance Constable Vimes, you go and help him.
Vimes climbed back up the barricade. The city beyond was dark again, with only the occasional chink of light from a shuttered window. By comparison, the streets of the Republic were ablaze. In a few hours, the shops out there were expecting deliveries, and they weren't going to arrive. The government couldn't sit this one out. A city like Ankh-Morpork was only 2 meals away from chaos at the best of times. Every day, maybe 100 cows died for Ankh-Morpork. So did a flock of sheep and a herd of pigs, and the gods alone knew how many ducks, chickens and geese. Flour? He'd heard it was 80 tons and about the same amount of potatoes and maybe 20 tons of herring. He didn't particularly want to know this kind of thing, but once you started having to sort out the everlasting traffic problem, these were facts that got handed to you. Every day, 40,000 eggs were laid for the city. Every day, hundreds. Thousands of carts and boats and barges converged on the city with fish and honey and oysters and olives and eels and lobsters. And then think of the horses dragging this stuff, and the windmills, and the wool coming in too every day, the cloth, the tobacco, the spices, the ore, the timber, the cheese, the coal, the fat, the tallow, the hay, every damn day. And that was now. Back home, the city was twice as big. Against the dark screen of night, Vimes had a vision of Ankh-Morpork. It wasn't a city. It was a process. A weight on the world that distorted the land for hundreds of miles around. People who'd never see it in their whole life nevertheless spent their life working for it. Thousands and thousands of green acres were part of it. Forests were part of it. It drew in and consumed, and gave back the dung from its pens and the soot from its chimneys and steel and saucepans and all the tools by which its food was made, and also clothes and fashions and ideas and interesting vices, songs and knowledge, and something which, if looked at in the right light, was called civilization. That's what civilization meant. It meant the city. Was anyone else out there thinking about this? A lot of the stuff came in through the Onion Gate and the Shambling Gate, both now Republican and solidly locked. There'd be a military picket on them, surely. Right now, there were carts on the way that had found those gates closed to them. Yet no matter what the politics, eggs hatch and milk sours and herds of driven animals need penning and watering, and where was that going to happen? Would the military sort it out? Well, would they? While the carts rumbled up, and then they were hemmed in by the carts behind, and the pigs escaped and the cattle herds wandered off? Was anyone important thinking about this? Suddenly, the machine was wobbling. But Winder and his cronies didn't think about the machine. They thought about money. Meat and drink came from servants. They happened. Vetinari, Vimes realised, thought about this sort of thing all the time. The Ankh-Morpork back home was twice as big and 4 times as vulnerable. He wouldn't have let something like this happen. Little wheels must spin so that the machine can turn, he'd say. But now, in the dark,